tell by looking at him, but he's a new daddy. And now that's the good news. The bad or the sad news is his wife delivered the baby, and a week later he left and came to America. So I don't know how it's going to be when he gets home. We were kidding him this afternoon that it'd probably be walking by the time he gets home. We don't know, but he's been here since the end of March, I guess, and going to go home about the middle of May. And as you can tell, having a new baby at home, he's probably getting a little anxious to get back and be with them. But we're glad he's with us tonight, and we want to give him an opportunity to share with us what God's placed on his heart. I was telling Sister Marcy, they went to lunch with us today, and with Brother Tom and Brother and Sister Stapleton, and you know, we were talking about how good it is just to be around them. You know, you can be in a church service with somebody, but when you get to be with them outside of church, you can carry on conversations, talk about things, and get to know a little bit about more about them and their work. And you know, every time he comes, the school just keeps growing. And if I get this wrong, you can correct me when you get up here, but I asked him how many kids Sister Sarah was looking after now, and I believe he said it was 700 kids that they have daily come, that they feed daily, and teach them about Jesus. And then I believe the high school was another 100 or 150, somewhere in that range. But they've got a big work and a good work that they're doing to share Jesus. And we're thankful for that, and we do support them. And as he said today, he needs our support in prayer tonight and every day. And we just want to give way to him and let him share with us what God's put on his heart. Listen closely, and you'll hear what God's got for him to share with us tonight. So Tom, love you, brother. Glad to have you with us tonight.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Brother Andy. Blessed to come again over, and I want to thank you for allowing me again to come and to share with you what the Lord is doing. One thing that is certain is that the Lord is alive and has continually been with us in every step that we make. And as he said, I am with you always. He has been true to his word. And I want to encourage all of us to continue praying, because still we have a lot to do. And we know that through prayer, God is going to make sure that things are done according to his will. Well, I'm thankful again this evening for the Lord saved my soul and for giving me the gift of life and the assurance that if I die tonight, I'll wake up in heaven. And that keeps me going. And even though the world may be rough and difficult and sometimes chaotic, but I keep on moving, because I know my Redeemer liveth. And every day he strengthens me as I continue to do his work. I want to give you a report. You can see from the chart there that we have been building for the last 2 years the school. And the reason why we are doing school is because the school is being used as a mission. It's a mission because through the student or through the pupils, we're able to reach the communities that are around us. They are more receptive when you go to them in the name of a teacher than going to them in the name of a pastor, because they have been taught about pastors, and they know that the pastor is to convert them to Christianity. And the Muslims are very much curious about that. But we thank the Lord that as we move and as we continue to do this kind of ministry, working with children and teaching them, and I'm now glad that the Lord has given them some trust in us, that they can allow their student to come, not only during the weekend, because we always have one service each week for all the students that are there. And it doesn't matter what your background is, because the government wants every children, every school to have at least 45 minutes to be able to talk to the children about God. So if it is a Christian school, the government expects you to talk to them about Christ and also about God. If it's a Muslim school, because you have different schools, they will have Hindu schools, you have Christian schools, and you have also Muslim schools. So if it's a Muslim school, they will talk to them about Allah, which is their God, and they will talk to them about how about Muhammad. But we are thankful that God has given us an opportunity also there in Mombasa to be able to talk to these people about the risen Christ. And we continue to see a lot of them coming. And I want to thank you for your support, for your prayers. As Brother Randy said, we are now about 700. And we are continuing to have more because the parents don't ask us when they will bring the children. They go ahead and buy the uniform. And before you know it, the child is in the class. So it will take you, your manager, really time to find out when and how did he come and when was he admitted. But we thank God that in every case, the Lord is helping us. And some of them also just peep in just to eat the food. And I'm glad that some of them that have been doing that have now joined us officially as the student of our school. So continue praying for us. Last year, the Lord has blessed us with about 6 souls that were saved, and the 2 of them have already been baptized and joined the church, and 2 of them are still there at Ramogi. You know, we have 2 churches in Kenya. One is Ramogi. It's about 16 hours drive from Mombasa, and the 4 got saved right here, right there in Mombasa. And the good news that when I was here just about I think 3 weeks ago, my son was also called to preach, and we have several preachers from this work with the student. They came up to know the Lord, and then the Lord called them to preach, and they are right now working with us as teachers and also doing the preaching. So my son is one of the young people that got to be saved and also called to preach. He preached on the Easter Sunday. It was Easter Friday, and all the students from the high school came in at our church, and 2 of the girls got saved. So I'm really raring to go and baptize them so that they can be able to join our church. So I thank God for really doing that, because he's not respecter of any man. He works while I'm here and even when I'm back there. So I believe that the Lord is going to continue to bless us and to see us through. But I need your prayers, because the building is now about complete. We are just recently, because we don't have water, we decided that we would put, instead of a concrete roof, we decided that we're going to put an iron sheet roof. And because of that, recently when we get into the hall, because we had already plastered all the walls, and it was really looking nice, though we have not done the floor, but that does not keep us from using it. We have already started to use it. But the only big problem was that we realized that it became so hot, and therefore we are planning now to work on the ceiling so that at least the heat can be reduced, because it's just too much. You see, Kenya, where I am in Mombasa, it's always 100, and when it goes below, it's 80. And we are used to that, but when it comes from the iron sheet, it's very hot. So I thank God for the brethren that are going to be coming in the few weeks, coming to Kenya to help us fix that. And I also want to take this opportunity for anyone that feels like coming to Kenya for a visit. I thank that the Lord that the mission work is open for all of us, and every one of us has something to do. Well, there has been this kind of a thing that it's only men, because the women say there's nothing that we are going to go to do there because they are the only men preaching. But I believe that our sister Bernice, that is Brother Bryson's wife, was the first person to come, and then was followed by Jerry Bo's wife, Darlene. And since then, I've seen the young people catching the vision, and that really gives me hope that this church going to continue even after everybody is gone, because they are catching the vision to move. And not only the young people, but even the young ladies. In the school, we have every year, three ladies coming from Zuri Calvary Missional Baptist Church to come to teach these children, and they take about 1 week, 1 month, or sometimes 3 weeks. They teach them the mathematics, they teach them the English, and the CRE, Christian Religious Education, and they are doing better, and that is still a mission work, because they also lead them to know Christ and talk to them about the love of Christ. And it's really something that we need to tell our young people really to be involved in, because it's really lifting Christ up, because Christ, when he spoke to the church, he spoke to every member that we need to go and do ministry. We have also medical, that also there is some doctors and some nurses that are in this church also have an opportunity to come over to help us, because we are in Kenya, we don't have, for you to see a doctor, it will take years. And this is the only, our church is the only area whereby once in a year, doctors and nurses come and really take care of our members, and not only our members, but the community come over and they get the free medical and free medicine. And that's really something that we need to be, we need to appreciate that the Lord is really helping us to do. And right now we have brothers that are carpenters and anybody, we all need to be part and parcel of the ministry. And when we talk about mission, mission is not only preaching, it's all that we do to reach out. And if there is anything that we can do to make people, you see, it took God to just light the fire. And Moses was so much excited to see a fire burning, and he was not getting burned. A bush was on fire, but it was not burning up, and therefore he drew closer. So if there is anything that we can do to make people at least question, what type of God is this? They will come in to find out for themselves, because there would be rumors outside there, but there will, some people would come to really see, why are these people different? And that's how the first Christians really, how we the first Christians that were known as Christians were known at Antioch, where the Christians really stood up and did exactly what Christ had told them to do. And the people, not themselves, the people named them, these must be Christians. They seem to be followers of that Christ that died, because they took Christ as his word and they did exactly. And because of that, they lifted up Christ. And as he said, when I am lifted, then I will draw all men to myself. So I want to appreciate this church, because you may have not known that you have done that. Because when I do that over there, I'm doing it on your behalf. You have sent me, and you have prayed for me, and also you support me. And I want you to pray that you do continue to do that. But once in a while, you need to come over into the field. He took Jethro to come out to see Moses, and he gave him an advice. He said, why? What in the world are you doing? All these people are lining here just to wait for you. And therefore, Jethro gave him some advice that you need to have some people to do this. So I would urge the brethren, once in a while, when you have time and you want to go for a visit, or instead of going to Amsterdam or to England or many other areas, you can come to Kenya, and we'll really be happy to have you. There's a lot of things. Last year we had a lady that came over, and she wondered what was she going to do. But when she came, they made a partition. She drew a plan. I never knew that she was an engineer. But they drew a plan of how we were going to partition the building, and it worked so good. And I always appreciate the work that the Lord is doing. And I want to thank you for being part of it. And I want to ask you to continue praying, because it's just started. Until the Lord comes back, we'll continue to do his work, because he has called us to do that. He has sent us out to do it. And until he comes and says it's done, we are just going to press on. It's going to be difficult, but it's not impossible, because our Lord is the Lord today, tomorrow, and he will be forever. Thank you very much for listening. You can see that over there, and you will. If there is any question, maybe we can talk afterwards. Right now, let's get to the important matter of the day, which is the Word of God. I want us to look briefly into the here in the book of Exodus, chapter 19, verse 4 to 8. That will be our text this evening. Let's start from verse 3 to 8. Exodus chapter 19, verse 3 to 8, and it reads, "And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on an eagle's wing, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice, indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and laid before them, before their faces, all these words which the Lord had commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, All that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the word of the people unto the Lord." I want to thank the Lord for this time that he has given to us to speak. I want to talk about God, the purpose of God saving us. When we don't understand the purpose of our existence, or the purpose of why we are where we are, if you are employed and you don't know your job, what you need to do, which areas that you need to work, it's kind of difficult and it may cause confusion. But I want to say that the Lord God has saved us for a purpose. We are in this world for a purpose. And if we must ask ourselves, why are we here? And what are we doing? And where are we going? That's still a good way to start if we were to really reach our destination successfully. But it seems like the world is so much interested in other things. They don't ask those questions, and therefore they have been misled. But I want to tell you that the Bible says that God, in the beginning, God created. And when God created man, he created him with a purpose. God needed someone that would worship him. He needed somebody that he will come down and have a fellowship with. And the Bible says that he created man in his own image, in his own likeness. He created man. And therefore, man has always been the business of God. And therefore, the people of Israel, they went into the land of Egypt through Joseph, and they stayed there for some times. And the king was born that did not know Joseph, and therefore started to molest them and gave them a hard job and really gave them a very difficult times. They worked overtime without any pay, and therefore they cried out to the Lord each day, because they remembered the promise that God had given to his prophet Abraham. And therefore, the cry of the people of Israel was really came into fulfillment when Moses was born. Moses was to be killed and was to be destroyed completely, but the Lord, who has a plan for our lives, saved him. He saved him for a purpose. And that purpose was revealed bit by bit. And sometimes when God calls us, we really need to take time and to pray for God to begin to reveal, because God never reveals everything. He reveals to us as we walk each day, and as we seek him each day, and as we have talk with him, he reveals to us what type of people we should be and what he wants us to accomplish in life. But for sure, God has a plan, and he wants to use us. He's interested in us because we are his workmanship. He has called us. He molded us. And he called us by his name. And therefore, when Moses was born, a lot of problems. But God took him out. And he went, after 40 years, he went to the wilderness. And after 40 years, the Lord called him. And showed him a burning bush, which really excited him. And he went and to look at it, to find out why is the bush burning and there is no flame. The flame was there, but there was nothing. It was not really coming down. And therefore, as he drew near, the Lord spoke to him from the bush and said, Moses, do not draw near. And he told him to take out his shoes because he was in a holy place. And therefore, after that, the Lord began to reveal to him that the cries of the people of Israel has been heard. And that he was calling Moses to be a person that he would use to reveal his power and his plan to the people of Israel. Moses somehow was intimidated. And therefore he asked the Lord some questions. Who are you, God? Because Moses wanted to know more about him. And I want to tell you that if you want to know more about God, you should have a talk with him. He's ready to reveal himself to you personally. He never reveals himself to us generally. If you want to hear from him, he will speak to you in a voice so sweet, in a voice so moving, and you will be happy when he talks to you. And when you realize that he's a God of all creation that has found it worthy to inhabit and to live in your heart, and that you become his temple and you become his house, whereby he can reach out to the lost and dying world. He spoke to Moses, say, I'm sending you to go back to Egypt. And Moses somehow wondered, how could I go? I was having problems with those man, and then the king, how can I go? But God told him, I am. God revealed to him that I am who I am, and I will be with you. I am the God of the present. I'm the God that wants you to go and deliver the Israelites from the land of bondage, because I am. And therefore Moses went. Though he said, no, I cannot go. I've never talked ever since. I'm not a good speaker. But God told him, no excuse. I'm going to give you someone to stand with you. And there he went. After that was 8 years. I find a lot of people talking about age. And the age becomes a problem when it comes to a mission. When you talk about mission and when you talk about God speaking to us. And becomes an hindrance. But you see, for those people like Abraham, age was never a problem. God told him, you are going to have a child. Sarah doubted, but Abraham knew that God was going to do it. And therefore, at his time, God gave him the child. Moses was 80 years when God spoke to him, but he was ready, the willingness to go. And he went. He had a lot of problems. But I want to say that it came a time when God himself, he began to reveal himself when Moses was in Israel, was in Egypt, and he began to speak to him. And in the verse that we have read, he said, the people of Israel are gathering here right now after they have come from the land of Egypt. And they have reached, they have walked for about 3 months, and now they are around Mount Sinai. And they have tested all the Lord and found out that the Lord was good. And because he had provided to them every need that they needed. The food was provided. The water was provided. And God was speaking to them on a daily basis. They have been traveling for about 3 months from the land of Egypt, and the Lord reached out to Moses, and Moses now goes up into the mountain and begin to speak to God, and God begin to reveal to them what he needed to do. I want to say that God is the one that is responsible for our deliverance. There is none that can save us, not any work, or not any kind of behavior, or anything that we can do by our own selves to be saved. It is God's work, and we need just to hear his word, and we need just to willingly follow by seeking him in obedience, and he's able to come and help us. We are in a big problem, but our deliverance is the Lord, if we would continue to look at, to him. You see, Moses reminds the Israelites, he says, do you see what I have done? The Lord talks to him. Do you remember what I did to the Egyptians in order to deliver you? Did you see how I killed? Do you see how I turned the water to be red? Do you see how I brought the plagues in order to bring deliverance to you? How Pharaoh refused, I hardened his heart. But at long last, when the firstborn of every person in the land of Egypt, those that did not have their doors earmarked by the blood, were killed, God tells him, remember what I did. And now you are about to enter another place. He tells them that, do you remember the plagues? Do you remember the suffering that the Egyptian underwent? Can you sit down just for a moment to figure out what I did so that you can know that I am the Lord of all creation? How I buried the people of Israel, the people of Egypt into the Dead Sea. Take account and see how I led them even in the night. There was light that was really showing them their way. And in the day, I covered them with a cloud so that nobody would injure them, and also they would not experience a lot of heat. I bared you on my wings and brought you unto myself. The purpose of redemption. Why did God do all this? He redeemed them because he wanted them to be a peculiar treasure unto him. Something that when he sits up, you see, when you have a treasure, something that you think about. You see, when I was young, I always dreamed some dreams, and I could dream that I had a lot of money, and I could keep that money somewhere. You see, my father died when I was about 10 years, and therefore, there are a lot of things that I didn't experience in life, and therefore, money was something too good to me. And I could dream, because my mother didn't have money, and we could go without food, and me having money was really kind of something that I really liked. So I could dream that I had money, and I could keep that money somewhere. But after I've kept the money, I woke up very happy, but only to realize that it was just a dream. I could really run to that corner to find out no money was there at all. So you see, that was my treasure. You are a treasure to God. You are meant to be peculiar, and you are meant to be used of God. You are created in the image of the God of all, God of heaven. How does that God of heaven look like? Well, it will be from, if we talk about God looking like me and looking like you, that God will be so unique. But you see, he breathed in us his breath. That is, when he breathed into us the breath, that was just a soil dumped down, created in the image, but that breath brought life unto us. That is his image that is in us. That's why you don't tell a child that there's God. Even though right now the world wants us to imagine that the children don't know about God. The world wants us to, some of them even do not know how to differentiate a man and even a woman. But you see, the children know. God created us to be peculiar. We are godly, we are possession of God. He bought us with his own blood. If you read the book of Acts chapter 20 verse 28, he talks to us how we were bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. God wants to guard us as his special treasure. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, he talks to us. He says, "For you are bought with a price, so glorify God in your own bodies." I was glad to hear the sisters and the brothers sing to the Lord, because God wants all of us, that when we come to the house of the Lord, all of us need to have something to glorify, to lift him up. One to preach, one to glory, and we all should be involved, because we are special, we have a special relationship with God. First Peter chapter 2, verse 9, he talks to us, he says that you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness to the marvelous light. He called us out. He called us by our name. He called Moses. He called you by your name, so that you may stand up and shine and proclaim his excellencies, the most powerful. You are to be the salt of this world. You are to be the light, that when the people are so much in darkness, crying and lost, you can be seen and you can give direction. They could say, "Let's go where the light is." We are carrying that light with us, because Christ says, "I am the light." And he says, "I am in you." And he is in the Father. God has called us for a purpose, and we need to understand that purpose, because that purpose is very, very much important. And our peculiarity, how do we know our uniqueness? Our uniqueness is manifested in our obedience to the voice of God. How can we claim to be godly people and we never hear his voice? And even if we hear his voice, we don't obey that voice. But if we are really truly peculiar, unique people created by his own image, the light bearers, then that will be manifested in our obedience to his word. What does he speak to us? He speaks to us about salvation. He talked to us about redemption, that he has bought us with his blood for a purpose, to be the light, to testify, to give testimonies of the difference that it made when the Lord touched your soul. The peace you felt when he touched your soul. The joy you felt when he changed your life. He changed your decision. He changed your destination from darkness to a marvelous light. That is how that light came. And that's the hope that we have. As children of God, we must strive to seek to know what God wants us to do. You are not just going to get it. You need to have a very humble approach to speak to him. "God, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to do?" You need to seek it with humility, as a child will seek it from the Father. "What do you want me to do?" You must strive to seek to know what God wants you to do and how he wants you to do it. Our obedience to God demonstrates that we are a peculiar position, that we are his children. When we show, when we manifest, when we do, when we obey his voice, that is a manifestation that truly we are his own possession, that we are truly unique, and that we are truly peculiar. That's what he told the Israelites, that he told them in verse 5. "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people." You are. Well, we know that the Lord do not want us to lift ourselves, but the Lord has lifted us. There is an expectation that he expects from us. He expects us to hear him, to love him, and to follow him in obedience. Our faith and obedience makes us a kingdom of priests. That's what he said here. He said in verse, he continued to say in verse 7, and Moses came and called for the elders and of the people and said, laid before them their faces all this word that the Lord has said. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has said, we will do. That's what God expects us. We are to be distinct, unique, and different. The purpose of God saving us is to make his name known. That is really what he called the people of Israel to do. And we are the now new Israel. We are expected to be contagious, to infect those that are near us. Just like salt does. When you put salt, you will feel its, when even if it is a small one, you will feel the salt. You are the light. When you switch off the light, you'll know that there's darkness. So therefore, God has called us to be unique. He called Abraham. He says, he talked to him about making himself, the name of the Lord be known to all. He called, we as priests, we must be ready to make sacrifice in order to preach, to teach, and to testify of all the goodness of the Lord. This is about Israel, and he has called us for that purpose. And therefore, I want to say that let us stand up and do what the Lord wants us to do. Let our light shine among men. We are a holy nation to lead with the example, showing the world the love of God, demonstrating the Christ love to the world, just like you do when we feed the children. They ask us, where do we get the money to feed all these children? You are doing something that the Lord has called you to do. And you should do with a lot of love and with a lot of genuineness, because your work is really bearing fruit. Let us follow the Lord in obedience, not only when it is easy, but even when it is hard and difficult. Priest's work was to offer prayer, thanksgiving, sacrifices, and his work was to represent God in the house of God. That is what God has called us to do, and we have to represent him always in whatever that we do. He has called us to be his ambassadors, his representative in this world. You are the one that represents him. When people are walking gloomy, talking about politics, parties, and the Christians are also gloomy, we are to be above all, because we have the King that is on the throne. If you read the book of Psalms chapter 2, he tell you about, let the world, whatever they do, he has already set his King and he's on the throne. And not only the throne, he lives with us and he has promised to be with us always. And that is the encouragement that I wanted to tell us this evening. And I want to ask you to continue praying for us as we continue to be efficacious, to tell the world about the love of Christ. And help us through your prayer. I know we are going to succeed. Thank you very much for listening, and may the Lord bless you.
Loves you, and as he said, we all have purpose, and the main thing is that we